We are finally back after a month and a half hiatus. We are the WEW podcast. Wrestling is everything is wrestling. We've been we got fined. We got suspended for the wellness policy violation. A lot of wellness policy violations over the past like 6 weeks. But we're back here. We're back better than ever. But again, we are the WEW podcast. Find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us. Tell us how handsome we are. I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics, and I am with Tom Nix in San Antonio. What's up, Tom?
Finally. Tom, I have nothing else to back that up.
Well,
finally we returned.
So Tom just did a Rock impression, and we all know Tom loves the Rock. So glad to have you back. If you're wondering,
I'm hanging up now.
You're not hanging up. You love the Rock. You know it. And then usually we have Mike Pertil that joins us from Los Angeles, California. However, yesterday he brought a brand new superstar, future superstar wrestler into this world, named Owen. So we like to congratulate Mr. and Mrs. Pertil on their new family addition. So
I want to know how many wrestling related names he floated by his wife before she finally accepted. Like how? Like what do you think he started with?
Macho Man?
Think he started with like. Like, do you think he started with Hurricane Helms Pertil and then that got shut down?
I think so. I think he went through. I'm sure he even mentioned Dolph or like Ziggler, Ziggy, Pertil. I'm pretty sure he did. We'll ask him when he decides to come back on the show. But we wish them well. We're happy for them. But we have a returning guest this time, all the way from Cleveland, Ohio. Zach Schildwachter. What's up, Zach? Did we lose Zach?
Put China in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, there he is.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Like the first part of there just kind of like cut out. So I was like, oh, where is he? But
I can hear you fine.
Good, good, good. So how have you been, man? What's been going on?
Doing well. Hanging in there, checking out some of the indie wrestling scene as much as I can. I got a chance to Johnny Gargano's farewell match in AIW. It said see him go, but he's
is he there?
The big show, and recently got to see the lead up to the No Mercy pay per view when SmackDown played Cleveland.
So yeah, you went to that SmackDown show in Cleveland. What I remember, we watched it on TV. There was something going on with like The Miz and Dolph Ziggler then, but what was that like being there in reality?
Well, I mean, you know, those two have always laid claim to the hometown hero of being the Buckeye Boys, of you know, who can be the prodigal son to return home and hold that title. So, The Miz came out, you know, Intercontinental Champ, and he had his belt, and you know, he didn't feel like he was getting the cheers that he deserved, and that's when he, you know, really laid it into Dolph Ziggler. I mean, Ziggler's folks were in the audience there, and you know, on the televised cut, you saw the Miz kind of lay into Dolph and call out his career, and you know, call out everything that he's put into it, and you know, just how short he's fallen every time he's tried to reach for that brass ring. But the untelevised part was just the amount of berating that he got that went on for, I would say, 10 plus minutes. I mean, his poor folks. I mean, the Miz just lashed into the Ziggler's just, you know, just, I mean, it was a tongue lashing like you wouldn't believe. Like, I mean, I was surprised he didn't call out their DNA kind of thing. Just like, oh, but said that they bred a loser to get him to this point. So, I mean, I kind of wish they would have left a little bit more of that in to make the stakes for No Mercy a little bit higher, because that played, I think it would have played really well. That their matchup was great, but that lead up, that build up, that feud is great. I think that how those two played off each other is just fantastic. Miz is doing some of the best heel work of his career. Ziggler's probably one of the best carpenters in the industry right now. You know, building anybody up that you throw his way. I just really wish they kind of would have figured out a way to spin that out into Ziggler and The Miz becoming the Buckeye Boys, the Ohio State tag team. I would have loved that.
That would have been really sweet. I remember watching that. I can't imagine having even like it, you know, it's all like staged and scripted, but like having your parents there and having somebody else talk like that about your family, it's got to be just awkward, right?
Well, that was the thing, is that, you know, the Miz has just really amped it up. So when everybody was talking about him going after Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack and all that, and how awkward that was, like, he approached it with the same intensity of, like, how dare you raise a son to be this shitty to come into a ring and try to challenge me kind of thing. It was just like, hot
damn, you know? I love the Miz so much.
He is so good.
It's great. It's great. I mean, I know his character now is kind of going back and forth. You know, he lost the belt, and you've got the Spirit Squad kind of jumping in to do their thing. I think it'd be interesting to see them get turned into a Hollywood entourage with the Miz and all that. I mean, he's doing all right with his wife, but, you know, it'd be nice to have some goons around him. But I think if you're going to build up a stable like that, you need it in other folks as well. You know, you need the Wyatts built up again. I would love to see a Samoan dynasty built up. You know, if maybe Randy Orton joins the Wyatts, that'd be rad. But I want to see factions. If you're going to have, like, these factions, like, build them up. You know, give me more than just 2-3 people. That's not a faction. That's your buddies at the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say, speaking of factions, I'm really, really happy about the whole Sanity thing in NXT, because it's like the first honest to God stable that we've had in, I can't even remember, since when did we have more than a 3-person quote unquote stable? Like, I mean, the Shield was around for a long time, but that was more like a tag team that did 6-man tag team matches exclusively pretty much for a while. So I'm remiss to call the Shield a stable, but like, Sanity has 4 people. They have a leader. They've got a tag team. They've got a women's wrestler. And it's like a legit, like, stable. And again, like, I'm trying to stretch my brain to think of, like, when's the last time WWE had a 4-person stable on their roster or more, and I can't think of one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the problem with the WWE right now is, you know, they don't know what the definition of a club is. You know, the fact that they still have Gallows and Anderson, and then, you know, that's not a club. That's like you and, you know, your imaginary friend.
Yeah, that's I like some of the tag teams there, or some of like the factions they do, but they really need to jump on the bandwagon and really take some time to develop a few more. But before we get into any WWE, when we split off from the last network we were on to do our own thing again, we decided we didn't want to talk about just WWE stuff. We wanted to branch out into the indie stuff. And we want to talk to you today, if you've heard it, if you haven't heard of it, Wrestle Circus, which you can visit at www.wrestlecircus.com. And it looks like if you're in the Texas area, they have a couple shows coming up next month that'll be, one of them's in Dallas, and it looks crazy. Their roster is insane. And I've got to ask, there's a guy on their roster called Zema Ion, like DJZ. I want to know all about that guy so much, but I'm going to let Zach and Tom take over this, because I don't know much about Wrestle Circus, but I'm so intrigued. Tell me, what is Wrestle Circus? What's so cool about it?
Okay, so Wrestle Circus is a new promotion. They just, like as in this last weekend, had their very first show ever in Austin, Texas. And what is kind of crazy about Wrestle Circus is, like, normally when you think of indie promotions, especially brand new indie promotions, you know, they're scrapping together whatever they can find from local wrestling schools, you know, they're renting out a gym, and they're putting on, you know, independent wrestling shows. Wrestle Circus comes roaring out of the gate with EC3, who is a former world champion in TNA and a former WWE guy back in NXT. They come roaring out of the gate with Hangman Adam Page of the freaking Bullet Club is on their roster. They originally booked their very, very first main event, which got changed a whole bunch of times because of injuries and because of, you know, people getting hired by the WWE and other commitments. But their original main event for the first ever world title ringmaster title was Tama Tonga of the Bullet Club in Japan versus Ray Rowe versus Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Big Mike Elgin, which is insane. Like, those are Ring of Honor New Japan Pro Wrestling names, and this is coming out of a very, very first time promotion. So whoever's putting this on, A, knows wrestling because he's hiring all the best guys, and B, is really wants the audience to have a fun time because, like I said, they are pulling out all the stops. And they rented out a downtown Austin hall for this. Like, this isn't even like a
warehouse
gym or anything else. This is like a legit, we are a major promotion. We want you to pay attention to us, and we're going to bring all the best talent we possibly can to Central Texas. So their first show, I'm not going to run through every single match because they had, I believe, 10 matches, which was a ton for a first-time event. But they brought some guys from the CWC. Tony Nese fought a local villain named Sammy Guevara. If you've never seen Sammy Guevara wrestle, the dude is incredible, but is the most punchable person on the face of the planet. So they had a great cruiserweight match. They had an amazing, amazing, amazing heavyweight match between Donovan Dijak and Keith Lee. Both people who are occasionally in or full time in Ring of Honor. But you're talking about 350 pound men that are doing tope planches over the top ropes, that are doing like full cruiserweight like flips and jumps over each other and reversals, to the point where the match, after multiple power bombs, one power bomb on the apron, the match ended with two 300 plus pound dudes doing moonsaults and corkscrew jumps off the top rope. It was the most insane thing I think I've ever seen at an independent wrestling show for men that size. So if you are in anywhere close to Texas, and hopefully because their second show is both in Austin and Dallas, hopefully they'll start expanding elsewhere, because the event was nearly sold out on its first go-round, so I feel like these guys have a really bright future. Check out Wrestle Circus, because they book it great. Oh, I forgot to mention, another standout match was they brought in two guys from Chikara, Jervis Cottonbelly, a.k.a. the world's sweetest man, who has basically a masked gimmick from a guy from the 1920s versus Super Cop Dick Justice. And I know Zach's dying to talk about how great Super Cop Dick Justice is, so I'm going to give him a little time to explain Dick Justice to the audience.
Oh my God. Jervis is amazing. I've got a chance to see him with Old Wrestling, the outfit. They do some amazing stuff as well. You know, they've got folks like Matt Cross, Heidi Loveless, Chuck Taylor was in that, so I like that this circus that they're doing is putting some fun into it as well. Which, Chuck Taylor, great wrestler, I don't know if he's going by Dustin now?
He's going by Dustin now, it's very weird.
Well, you gotta do that inflection at the end with the question.
Oh, because it's question mark.
But yeah, I mean, you throw Supercop Dick Justice in there, he is amazing. He always delivers a quality show, no matter what. He is basically Mahoney from Police Academy, that if you just locked him in the Dunkin' Donuts for a week and a half and he just had to sustain himself there. Great gimmick, knows how to work a crowd. He recently had a tag team match, an AIW with Space Monkey. So they were going by Space Justice, which I always thought would be way better if it was Dick Monkey. But he's actually trying to do a film, a
Oh no, we're losing him. Where'd he go?
Just jump on YouTube. Oh.
It looks like we entirely lost Zach Schildwachter.
Yeah, I think we totally lost him.
Yeah? No?
Wait.
I'll try calling back in.
No.
Yeah, you were turning into a robot there for a little while. If you're not on Wi-Fi, try being on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I'm on the Wi-Fi. Man, my Wi-Fi, not sure what it is. Anyway, Dick Justice did this thing, YouTube Dick Justice Super Cop. It's a 10-minute short film. Heidi Loveless pops in. Gregory Iron pops in as well. He's the wrestler with multiple sclerosis, I believe it is. And he's fantastic as well. He plays a villain. It's great to see him mix it up. He's been in old wrestling as well. I'm really excited about this circus roster that they have, because they have some other fun folks on that card.
They bring it. Before we go further, I need to explain to you how Super Cop Dick Justice and Jervis Cottonbelly were booked in this event, which is incredible. So every match was basically a one fall to a finish match, with the exception of the main event, which was an elimination four way. But there was one match on the card that was a no disqualifications, falls count anywhere match. And it was between Jervis Cottonbelly and Super Cop Dick Justice with a 1 year time limit. 1 year. So the match ended up being mostly comedy spots and them doing what they're doing. And then Dick Justice chasing Jervis Cottonbelly out of the arena, because falls count anywhere in the city of Austin. As long as you're in the city limits, you can be pinned.
That's badass.
And during, after they left and nothing really happened, halfway through the show, they came back out and ran around the ring a couple more times, then swapped places where Jervis started chasing Super Cop, and they left the arena again. And it looks like this is just going to continue. I'm not sure it'll be like every Wrestle Circus show, but they're going to have one match for an entire year.
That is so crazy. So with Wrestle Circus, their roster isn't too big right now. So are their shows fairly short, or do they mean they do hard?
That's the thing. It's a 3.5-hour show with 10 matches, and three of those 10 matches had three or more competitors in them. The roster on their website is not fully reflective of all the people that were at that first show. There's a lot of people that are missing from that, but like, I guess these are the people that are probably going to return, although I think Lindsay Dorado is out because he's a WWE guy now. But like,
Now, are they trying to build it up more in a serious vein, or more like a family oriented kind of thing, like a Chikara? Or, I mean, are they going to go off the rails like a Kaiju Big Battle? Or
no? So this is the weird thing, is like, even though it's called Wrestle Circus, which I think they were picked that name because you could Wrestle Circus and clap 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 a lot. That's super easy, you know. Aside from the Chikara, you know, intermission, if you will, with Jervis and Super Cop, the matches are not brutal. Like, there's no real, like, chair shots to the head. There's no bleeding. There's no, like, super intense, crazy hardcore wrestling. But, I mean, like, the match between Hangman Adam Page and Willie Mack got pretty brutal. Like, you're talking about, like, slams on the apron, slams on the guardrail. My girlfriend watching that match, Adam Page hit a neck breaker on Willie Mack while Willie Mack was suspended on top of the ropes. Like, his body was like leaning on the apron, and it was brutal looking. And she like recoiled and like made a sound like she was really sure that guy just died in front of her. And like, no one got hurt the whole time. It was an excellent match. But like, they're not trying to be, hey, we're just gonna have a good time, everybody. Like, they do want you to have a good time, but half and half. There's a lot of very competitive matches, but there's also a lot of quote unquote comedy. Like, like the main event with Colt Cabana versus EC3 versus Ray Rowe versus Lance Hoyt, because Davey Boy Smith got pulled due to injury. And so you have Ray Rowe versus Lance Hoyt, who are two huge dudes that could beat the crap out of anybody, and they're just going at it like, you know, huge brawlers. And then EC3 and Colt Cabana are literally getting in a shoving contest and poking each other in the eye. And that is – so, like, in the same match, you have a comedy match going on with, like, a legit brawler big man punch-em-up on the outside of the ring. And as the roster gets thinned out due to the elimination – or, sorry, as the competitors got thinned out due to it being an elimination match, Colt Cabana went out first. So EC3 still was a little goofy, but the whole comedy match aspect kind of went out the door and became more of a traditional wrestling contest. And then when Lance Hoyt got eliminated, it was two big guys of Ray Rowe and EC3 fighting it out, and EC3 got the upper hand, and EC3 is the first ever Wrestle Circus champion, which is fantastic for me. I love seeing
it. Oh, that must have been awesome to see. That would have been great. I would have loved to have seen, like, Rowe versus Elgin. I think that would have been just, like, two T-Rexes going at it.
So, yeah, I was really bummed when Elgin had to be pulled out, but I think it was due to his New Japan commitments, same as Tama Tonga. But, yeah, I was chomping at the bit to see Elgin versus Rowe in a ring, and I think it's going to happen again. I think that was a one-off thing where Elgin just couldn't make it. But I think that's going to happen again. Now, they have announced for their next show, November 19th in Austin. They're doing one on November 20th in Dallas. The Austin show is going to feature one Chris Hero.
Wow.
And I'm really interested to see who they're going to throw up against Chris Hero.
That would be cool. So it says that they also have Tony Nese on their roster, and I thought Tony Nese has been showing up on WWE recently.
He has been, but I don't think he is officially signed to the company. He's kind of one of those guys where, kind of like how, I mean, this is a terrible comparison, and I apologize, Tony Nese, if you're listening to this, kind of like how James Ellsworth isn't really employed by the company. He just shows up, you know.
Hottest free agent of the game.
Hottest free agent of the world.
I need that shirt. We all need that shirt.
We all do need that shirt.
Yeah, and
so
go ahead.
Go ahead. Tony Nese is definitely coming back for the next show. They've already announced him as a competitor for the November 19th show. So I think Tony Nese has been showing up in Evolve. He's not leaving there anytime soon. So it's kind of one of those things where he's got a good gig where his indie rates can go up because now he's a known quantity. And he shows up on Raw every couple weeks or every week, just to be in four-way matches or whatever. He's in the Dusty Rhodes Classic, but he's kind of like an on-retainer guy, not a legit signed by the Federation guy.
All right. There's also a person on the roster called Jervis Cottonbelly, and he looks like he's wearing a mask of the Mr. Planter's Peanuts guy.
Brother, he's the greatest in the world. We talked about him a little briefly earlier, but he is... He is billed as the world's sweetest gentleman, and that is exactly who he is. He gets in the ring, he wrestles because he has to, but he's very faint of heart and always makes sure that his opponent is treated like a gentleman and that the audience is having a very good time, and he only seeks to be happy, to the point where as we were leaving, he was waiting by the door. Like, not where the wrestlers normally go. He was waiting by the exit door and was actively asking for people to take photos with him and hug them because he just wants everyone to feel loved. So, like, we got a nice little hug and a nice little photo, and he willingly gave me his hat and his cane that I could hold in the photo. And, like, he asked for that. Like, we're not going up to him. He's like, hey, did you have a good time? Take a photo. Like, he just is a ray of sunshine in wrestling. And, like, Chikara is where he needs to be. He's never going to be a, you know, serious brawler. He has an act, he has a gimmick, and he plays it tremendously. So I'm a huge Jervis Cottonbelly fan. He is Maggie's favorite wrestler of all time.
Nice. Let me ask you this. You're talking about people that are leaving and coming and going and all that. With EC3 taking the title belt, do you think that this might be... A new home for him after TNA goes tits up?
So, Which, it's so unfortunate that they probably are going to go tits up, because I think Billy Corgan at least had some ideas to try to make it better. But I do think him getting the belt, even if you theoretically could have him lose it next month and you just wanted to have a quote-unquote name be the champion for the first month, I do think this is something where he's counting on maybe this company that I'm working with now won't be around in 6 months, and whoever the guy who's running Wrestle Circus, Al Lenhart, I apologize if I butchered your last name, Al, but I met him after the show. He was extremely nice, and he's been doing podcasts and radio shows, and he looks to legit want to make this a big deal, and he obviously has the funds or the funding or the investors to make it happen. Because like I said, I've never heard of a debut company bringing in names like this and renting out the places they rent out as their first show ever. So as long as they keep booking it like they did, which is solid, fun matches, not too long, not too short, all the talent is telling a story, they are setting up for, you know, future feuds, I really hope this company can go the distance, because they put on a really remarkably fun, excellent show for anybody. You can bring an 8-year-old and they won't feel like you want to cover their eyes, you want to cover their ears. As long as they understand what wrestling is and that it's, you know, violence to resolve an issue but not real violence, then you could bring anybody to these shows and they will all have a good time. And it seems as though the wrestlers themselves were tweeting about how well the staff treated them, how well Al treated them. They felt like it was a promoter who was not out to screw them. Like, everybody seems to be working in complete harmony at Wrestle Circus. So I'm really hoping this becomes a major thing in the next couple of years. And it looks to be a great place for some of those independent guys to, you know, work in the States more often. It's just one more place for guys to work, which is great for wrestling fans.
That's very cool. Very, very cool. And have we, the DJZ, the Zema Ion, is he the, like, part DJ, part robot, part champion?
So, his picture is misleading. DJ Zema Ion is basically TJ Perkins. That's basically his character. He's a DJ, but he's like a cocky DJ who is super fast and like good at wrestling, but is just kind of a, you know, he's just kind of, I'm kind of a tech guy. I'm kind of a, you know, I'm into all this video games and that kind of stuff. His picture is like him in like a big shiny disco mask with like a giant suit of armor on like one half of his body. That's not who he actually is in the wrestling ring. He's basically TJ Perkins. Wow. And he's excellent. He's super fun to watch. Really fast. Really good. He competed in the sideshow. Pardon me. The sideshow championship match between Scorpio, Ricky Starks, and there was one more person that I can't remember. I'm going to feel bad because I don't remember his name, and he's not on this roster list. But anyway, it was a four-way match, a one-fall, no elimination. I really thought it was going to be Ricky Starks, because Ricky Starks is the Inspire Pro Wrestling champion at the moment, and he's a really big name in Austin and, like, South Texas area. So I was like, oh, man, they're going to give it to him. He'd be a great champion. And it turns out Scorpio Sky took the victory, who's someone I hadn't ever seen before, but apparently he's wrestled for PWG and a couple other really cool places. He was really good. That match was very high-flying and very fun. So
So people like need to check out Wrestle Circus. So people need to check out Wrestle Circus, right?
November 19th, Austin. November 20th, in Dallas. I already bought 4 front row tickets for me, Maggie, and our 2 friends in Austin who came with us last time. Tyler Major, who's been on the show before. We all went this last time front row and had a blast, and we already bought our front row tickets for the next show because we're going to have a blast again.
Awesome. All right, well, let's move on to some WWE stuff. But before we just do that, we just want to reiterate, visit www.wrestlecircus.com. This is a new wrestling promotion, and it just is, from what you hear, it is very, very cool if you're in the Texas area or from wherever else. But let's talk about some WWE stuff. We have to bring up the return of Goldberg. So
Goldberg.
So yeah, WWE 2K17, the video game. If you pre-ordered that from WWE or from Amazon or wherever, you could play as Goldberg. So hence, Goldberg is back in WWE, at least until the next pay-per-view or whatever, where supposedly he is going to fight Brock Lesnar. I'm happy he's back. I mean, it's good to see him. He looks in good shape. The promo he cut was good, but do we really need a Goldberg Lesnar match? I don't think Goldberg is going to win.
Did he really look that good in shape? I mean, almost 15 years later. He had that big jacket on that, I don't know, looked like a henchman from Bane's army when they all broke out of jail kind of thing. You know, I mean, he's the king of leg meat. Don't get me wrong. He comes out in his mantis and shakes it better than anybody else. But, like, it was such a weird walk-up with him going through the hall, like the one dude with the Cesaro sign or T-shirt. Or whatever. What is going on?
Well, I'm trying to remember. Didn't they used to, like, knock on the door for him, and then he would come out and walk? The camera always used to follow him walk through the back.
Oh, yeah. It was like the Steadicam walk with like all the state troopers that always made you wonder if they're all marching with him, who's patrolling our highways kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was cool. I mean, that's how they even sold the video game, is doing the same thing. They go and knock on a cave like he's Jesus 3 days later kind of deal.
No, it was interesting. I thought, he was like hugging and kissing all the little kids, and like it seemed like he picked up a random kid from the audience and tried to put him over his shoulder. I was like, oh God, what's going on? They're definitely billing him as the good guy here. And then, so do you think Lesnar and Goldberg are going to have a match? It seems like they are. And do you think Lesnar's going to beat the hell out of him?
I see no way that couldn't happen. Lesnar's not even 40 yet. Huge. And Goldberg was never a good wrestler ever in his entire life. He just had a streak, and he had a great look, and he had a great entrance and great music, and he was really, really, really good for the 45 seconds that he had to perform. But, like, you can't put 51-year-old Bill Goldberg in a ring with 38-year-old Brock Lesnar and expect it to be anything other than a massacre.
So do you think this will be at Hell in a Cell or Survivor Series?
Oh, Survivor Series. If it was Hell in a Cell, they would have said Hell in a Cell already.
Okay.
Because that pay-per-view's next week.
Yeah, I mean, this matchup is the only way to sell Survivor. I mean, what other matches are people really itching to see for Survivor Series? I mean, they could have gone a bunch of different ways to make it a little more entertaining. Like, if he's going to start grabbing kids and kissing them, it'd be way cooler if one of them would have been Titus O'Neil's kid.
That would have been cool.
If he grabbed Titus O'Neil's kid during or while Titus O'Neil was kissing him on the mouth.
Yeah. But something like that. Because the thing that begs this is, like, okay, you return Goldberg. He comes in, you know, he gives us this whole emotional spiel, you know, you're last. That kind of thing. Like, okay, cool. You know, the last hurrah to the former era that got kind of squashed out after the Attitude Era and all that. But it's you're the only way to build it out after that is you're gonna feed him a couple of wins. So who's gonna go up against him? Are you gonna try to feed him some of your top tier talent that you've already had trouble building up, you know, like a Bray Wyatt or something like that, or Braun Strowman, you know, I mean, what kind of meat are you going to put in the grinder to make him look good?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out, because, I mean, I don't think Bill Goldberg is going to win. I mean, I would like to see the second version of Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar go at it. But it seems like you had a good point, brought up Braun Strowman. It seems like since Braun Strowman is literally just fighting idiots up until last Monday when Sami Zayn came out, but Sami Zayn's really no match for Braun Strowman, really. So it makes sense that it would be Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar type of thing. Unless Kurt Angle came out, but that's not going to happen.
Oh, my God. Here it comes.
No, oh, here it comes for Kurt Angle.
Can we get a run-in from Doink
the Clown? Doink the Clown? Didn't he die? Doink died. Rest in peace. But, yeah, the Bill Goldberg thing. I'm so curious on how this whole thing is going to work.
I'm not against it because, like, again, it's nice to see the dude come back and go out what seemingly is on his own terms. Again, like, it's gonna put eyes on the product. It definitely increased Raw ratings when he came back. But you just have to know that the match he's gonna be involved in is going to let you down. You just have to be aware of that.
Yeah, so, but I mean, you could have put him up against anybody else and spun way different scenarios that could have made it work. You could have, you know, Goldberg versus Jericho, Goldberg versus Owens, Goldberg versus, you know, I mean, you could have spun it in a lot of different ways. Goldberg versus Shane McMahon, and then you tie in Shane to Brock later on for, you know, WrestleMania. That's the one rumor I've heard circulating around.
I agree,
and because I do not think you put, like I said, I mean, the guy is older than The Undertaker, or at least really damn close to as old as The Undertaker is. You shouldn't be putting him up against your unstoppable monster, because the only, like, you either have Goldberg get destroyed or you risk making Brock look stupid, because Goldberg is bad at wrestling. He's not much better than Hogan is. Than Hogan is. Hogan had the same thing. The great look, the great entrance. He had those three or four moves he could do really well, and they looked great. And that's why he was the most popular person in the world. Same with Goldberg. But Lesnar is an athlete, a legitimate athlete, legitimate wrestler. You can't just throw these two together, because, again, this is 13 years after WrestleMania 20, and everyone hated it 13 years ago.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
if you're going to compare Goldberg to Hogan, though, it's going to be Goldberg to Hollywood Hogan.
No, I think Goldberg is better than Hogan. However, with the recent Brock Lesnar matches, it really is just Brock Lesnar dominating. He's just suplexing, suplexing. They go outside the ring, suplexing, suplexing, and then it's over, because Brock Lesnar makes someone bleed usually. So
yeah, normally himself.
Here's the thing that drives me crazy is why. Why are we're trying to put a square peg in a round hole right now of trying to find Brock Lesnar an appropriate opponent, which is, why are we wanting to watch him wrestle right now? The shine on Brock Lesnar's penny is so gone from, like, all this heat from UFC and all that still is very fresh and has got to die down for a while. But what I want to see is all these people that you brought up for your cruiserweight, give them something to do. Give me a battle royale that turns bloody with those guys. That's what I want.
For real.
Yeah, I don't understand why WWE doesn't do, like, a real hardcore match or a bloody match anymore. I mean, it is a pay-per-view. I mean, I just don't get why they would not go down that route.
See, maybe I've turned into a funny duddy in my old age, but I have no desire to see a hardcore match ever again in my life. It doesn't appeal. Now, I do love seeing blood in a wrestling match when there's a storyline reason to have blood. But, like, just a two guys hitting each other in the face with, you know, chainsaws and barbed wire and chairs and everything, it doesn't appeal to me anymore as a, you know, 35-year-old man. And simply because of the fact that there's so much publicity on what causes concussions, wrestlers die before they're 50, you know, and that kind of stuff doesn't need to happen anymore. Like I said, I do wish they would allow their wrestlers to bleed a little bit. Like, can you imagine, had they actually given Sheamus versus Cesaro a finish for their seventh match, but let one or both of them bled because they both needed to prove so badly that they were better than the other person? That would have made that feud mean something. And it doesn't mean to be bleeding all over the place and, like, you know, gushing blood like the Eddie Guerrero JBL match. But if you add it in the right places for the right feud, it really does make a difference. You wouldn't have, like, Austin and Bret Hart wouldn't have had the best double turn of all time without the blood.
Yeah, No, I agree. No, I mean, I like a hardcore match here and there, but yeah, there needs to be a story around it. It doesn't need to happen to happen. But I mean, that's what part of Brock Lesnar is. I think he can get that out of people. He could have a bloody match here and there, and I just wish that they would keep that in. And I don't know. It's a sore spot with me, and I'm trying to really figure out who's going to beat Brock Lesnar. I really think it's either going to be of four people, it'll either be Braun Strowman if Kurt Angle comes back, or it's going to be Shinsuke or Samoa Joe.
Let me go ahead and spoil it for you. Who's going to beat Brock Lesnar? Beat him! Beat him! Beat him! Beat him! Beat him!
Oh, good God. I mean, here's the thing. You brought up a good point with Sheamus and Cesaro. And, like, I agree. I think if they would have spilled some color, that would have cemented them as a tag team as well. Like, you bleed, I bleed. I would have been so much more behind that tag team that would have given them way more of a push that they could have steamrolled for anybody. Yeah, like, New Day, anybody. Like, these guys are willing to go. They're the new tag team.
Who would not want to see bloody, battle-tested, like, war-hungry warriors versus guys distracting each other by Facebook Live? Like, really?
Yeah.
What?
It's the consequences of what's at stake that I think WWE has kind of lost perspective of. You see it right now with the new Hell in a Cell coming up. You have the first female Hell in a Cell match coming up.
They're headlining. They're the last match of the night.
Yeah, and I'm psyched for that. That's really cool, you know, that they're giving the women that opportunity to compete in that level of an arena. But at the same time, why? I mean, there hasn't been that big of a buildup to do a Hell in a Cell match. I mean, that was always my thing, was, like, growing up, a Hell in a Cell was like, that's it. Like, besides me coming to your house and, like, cutting the head off your dog and shitting in your wife's mouth, like, we're doing Hell in a Cell kind of thing. That was, like, the, you know... That's what it was like, hardcore. Like, holy hell, man, you know?
That's the kind of match that Brian wants to see. Just heads cutting, shitting throats, pissing blood. That's the kind of stuff Brian's in this game for.
Tom Nix knows me so well.
Here's the thing. You need that kind of balance, because I'll take the, you know, bring your 8-year-old to the match. Like, I'll buy all the foam fingers, you know. I'll buy into the New Day chants, whatever else. I'll do the kid-friendly kind of thing. But at least give me that one day of purge where shit hits the fan in my fucking wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Zach, you're exactly right. It's like it almost feels gross to complain about women getting a Hell in a Cell match because it's long overdue. It's awesome they're getting the opportunity. But this is just the next match in Charlotte versus Sasha. This isn't like a year-long blow-off. This isn't like a, we are going to settle this. This is just a, hey, I won the title. You won it back. By the way, the next pay-per-view is called Hell in a Cell. Let's just do it in the Hell of a Cell. Done. Like that. And it just is kind of like a, like you said, there's like, it's great that it's happening. It's great they're getting the opportunity to do it. But there is no actual reason for this feud to escalate to that level besides we should. And it's the third Hell in a Cell match that night. There's three of them.
Yeah, I feel like the whole Hell in a Cell pay-per-view is going to be all Hell in a Cell matches.
Yeah, it's going to be TNA Lockdown, only hopefully better.
It's got to be better. But yeah, go ahead.
But that's a really good point, though. That's the comparison to TNA and the Lockdown game, that's a really good point, because with TNA versus WWE, the one thing they are doing right is they give their performers the opportunity to do just that. Perform, where it's like, this is the character we're presenting, let us do our thing. Like, if you were going to tell me, like, a run-in by the Hardy Brothers or something like that, I'd be all for that, you know?
That's true. I can't believe how much I like Matt Hardy. It makes me sick to my stomach how much I like him.
Well, that's another point we should talk about. So, because TNA, of course, they're Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins. Yes, he was the president, but now he has a he's suing them. He quit. He has a restraining order against Dixie Carter, who is the
he's also a Cat Fancy cover model.
Yes, he is. But yeah, the TNA looks like it's going under fast because supposedly we've been hearing reading articles of like how they can't pay anybody, they're behind payments and tax fraud and everything. So, do you think Vince McMahon is biding his time to buy up TNA for the lowest common price, and then we will see maybe 4 to 8 wrestlers from TNA immediately come over to Raw or SmackDown?
No, I don't think he's going to do that. I think if anything, he will try to buy their tape library because one of his biggest stars is AJ Styles, and he can't sell a DVD on AJ Styles footage he doesn't own. So I think that's one of his biggest concerns is how do I get the tape library, because he's got Samoa Joe, he's got Austin Aries, he's got Roderick Strong, he's got all these people that he's got Bobby Roode. All of these people that came from TNA that are now becoming like bigger names or are huge names, depending on who you're talking about, I think he's most interested in getting the footage of those matches so that he can sell DVDs and put collections on the network and say, hey, everyone, here's the AJ Styles collection. It's 10 years, 15 years of AJ Styles matches that most of us or most of his base hasn't seen because they either don't watch TNA, don't watch it regularly, or have never heard of it. So because it's the one promotion that they never mention on the air. So I think that's his primary concern. I think if TNA goes out of business, it's not going to be like the Invasion angle where like Goldberg and Nash and Hall all had these downside guarantees for millions of dollars for years, so they just sat it out and got paid. This is a bunch of people that aren't getting paid, have no downside guarantees, and if they end up going out of business and everyone just disperses to the wind, I think he can have his little pick. You know, he might pick up Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy. He might pick up EC3, maybe. I'm not sure if that'll happen or not. But he might pick up, like, cherry pick some of the people that are actually doing good work over there. And the rest of them, he'll just let him go. I don't think he wants to keep TNA in business. I do think he wants their assets, but I don't think he wants to run the company or even buy their talent pool.
Yeah, I think this is the thing with TNA for me, is that there's a lot of quality entertainers over there that are doing a lot of really interesting things. You know, Final Deletion and, you know, the Renaissance of the Hardy Boys kind of started with that. You know, you cut some of the dead wood off with, you know, your Big Papa Pump and all that other shit. And, you know, you keep TNA alive by being a new developmental farm. I mean, NXT blew up quicker and bigger than anybody ever anticipated. So now you have all these wrestlers coming in that they raided from the indies, and they've got to go somewhere. They've got to do something. Because you just look at main roster, and the fact that you have Sami Zayn jobbing to, you know, Braun Strowman is a bad sign of the times. The only other competitor that they really have to start kind of worrying about is Lucha Underground. So if WWE took TNA and that style of entertainment that they tried to copy with the New Day Bray Wyatt compound fight that they did, and actually sat down and did a scripted, a more post-production oriented vignette based style programming in the vein of Lucha Underground, you could see a whole other renaissance of business from there. Give it to, you know, Hunter's not going to take it, you know, Stephanie's not going to take it. There's got to be somebody in that wheelhouse that would oversee that and do it well. And the other thing I'm excited about is if they, you know, do that, how awesome it's going to be to look at local indie wrestling and see a lot of these heads start coming to shows and jumping in the squared circle.
Yeah.
There's so much I love about it and so much I wish that they would do differently, if that's even possible to say.
Welcome to wrestling fandom.
But that would be amazing if they started doing more post-production style Lucha Underground wrestling, but WWE. You know what I mean? Like, if you were able to take those shitty vignettes that they try to do between Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt and actually were like, okay, we're going to take more than a half hour to shoot this. and have some fun with it, you know?
Yeah.
I love the vignettes when they introduce new wrestlers and things like that.
Oh, my God. Lucha Underground is the freaking greatest thing of all time.
Yeah, but there's so many now with the WWE, the intros that are just really bad. And it's just like, who's doing this stuff? Like, bring back the segments.
You know? I think the problem, and I guess this is really beating a dead horse, but a WWE has seven or eight hours of content they produce every week, and everything that's not the wrestling is just throwaway. It's just, okay, now we have a talk in the back, now we do this, now we cut a promo in the ring. It's just how they've always done it, because they produce 8 goddamn hours of TV a week, and Lucha Underground produces 1 a week, and they shoot it all in months in advance, so they have tons of time to actually shoot the vignettes, and they produce it, and they write it out over a long period of time, because they are responsible for 42 hours of content for an entire year, and that's all they do, and that's why it gets tighter, better, they find more creative ways to do it, the feuds pay off because they're written well in advance, because they have to be, because they got to shoot the backstage footage, and not saying like WWE needs to go to an hour show per person. That's not what I'm saying. It's they need to reduce the amount of hours that they of just raw content, because they're just it's kind of why I really haven't watched Raw in 4 weeks. I catch the clips on YouTube of the really important stuff. I read about the recaps, because it's 3 hours of mostly just wheel spinning. Like 2 weeks ago, Cesaro fought one of the members of the New Day, and then Sheamus was on the outside doing Facebook Live. The next week, Sheamus fought one of the members of the New Day, and Cesaro was on the outside doing Facebook Live. I just watched that. Why am I watching it again? Because there's just one of those, hey, we got 3 hours produced. We have 1 week to write 3 hours of TV because, we can't plan ahead. So it's just a lot of wheel spinning because it's a very popular show on a very popular network. People love it, and they watch it, and they think that because they have a built-in audience, they can get away with just kind of, it's the same thing as last week but slightly different, and it's not really pushing the story forward that much. So I think their biggest challenge, if they want to stay creatively competitive, is just simply get rid of 8 hours a week. Just produce less, pre-tape, figure something out where you can manage to be a storytelling machine with the best wrestlers in the world, because they do have by far the best roster that anyone could possibly afford, but the stories they're telling with them, unless that performer is a standout player like a Kevin Owens or a Chris Jericho or an AJ Styles, who can like float above the so-so writing they've been given, it does kind of feel stale, and it's hard to sit down and watch 3 hours straight of the same shit you watched last week.
Yeah,
I mean, you want an off season, is what it is. And you need an off season. I don't know what Vince and the corporate office is afraid of an off season.
No, I
where it's one. You're gonna give your athletes a chance to recoup and heal and take a break and see their families and be happier employers and employees and want to stay with the company. And then two, you have a chunk of time to develop your other subsidiaries within your company. Your cruiserweights, your TNA, because they're going to buy them. They're going to buy them. If it's not the library, they're just going to buy the husk of it all and then just throw away what they don't want.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I really think like maybe after WrestleMania, they take like a month off and they show like the recaps and like highlights of the past year. That gives the wrestlers a month to kind of go back, and then they start fresh, and with like maybe they cut promos a week prior to starting up, where like this is what happened while we were off. Things actually happened in real life, kayfabe or whatever. That would be so good, because it's for two shows that air the day after the other. One's a 3 hour, one's a 2 hour. It's so much content, and again, like we've said every week, there is just really. they're really pushing it every week with Raw because it's just there's a lot of, not a lot of wrestling on it. It's a lot of stupid shit.
Or it's a lot of the same wrestling, which is what's even more frustrating is they have a massive, like, the whole point of Raw was we get more talent because we have more hours of footage to fill, but there's still very little featuring of these, like, where has Neville been? Like, he's been on, what, one squash match? Like, you have these this huge roster that you're not telling stories with because you're literally just doing the same thing you did last week. Like, did we need, like I said, the whole, like, Sheamus and Cesaro flip-flop? Would that not have been better served to show that Neville still existed or Bo Dallas still existed or Curtis Axel still existed or even Big Show or anything else? Like, you have this deep roster on one show, a pretty shallow roster on the other show that you refuse to use because you just want to do the same thing you did last week but slightly different, which is, like I said, it gets tedious. It's kind of like why the Hobbit movies failed, because it was the same shit over three movies that were all 3 hours long.
Yeah,
you just watched the same thing you watched the last movie, and it's not interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
There's no stakes anymore. It's, you know, now everybody has a belt. Now everybody has, you know, nothing's worth fighting for.
Nothing's sacred. Well, let's.
And Seth Rollins isn't even a face. I mean, kind of he is, but not really. Like, they don't have a baby face. There's no baby face leading Raw. Zero. There's not a. They don't have a baby face on Raw.
They still.
They don't have.
Yeah, I agree.
What is that?
It's weird. Let's since it's getting into the podcast, let's take some questions from our lovely fans of the show. We've got one on Twitter from Adrian Torres at Yo Adrian Torres. He's a 2-part question. What's the best non-mainstream wrestling circuit to follow, and are WWE live events experiment shows?
So, I can answer one of those, and I would like everyone to answer the first part of the question. We talked about it. Wrestle Circus is great so far. Well, on the one show that I saw, and it's a very promising debut. So if you live in Texas or can get access to it, I did see cameras rolling on the first Wrestle Circus show. They had probably about a 3 or 4 man crew recording the event, so hopefully a DVD or at least a VOD will be released sometime in the near future. They're something to watch because they bring in lots of good international talent, and they put on a really well-booked show. Nationally, I would say PWG is always a good place to start.
Pro Wrestling Guerrilla
is a good place to start.
Yeah.
Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and Evolve are great places to start. You can buy their DVDs and Blu-rays right from their respective websites. There's a pretty good catalog to pick up there, but those are safe bets. Zach and Brian?
Kaiju battle.
Yeah.
That's great. A lot of people forget that's partly where Chris Hero got a big start.
Yeah, so if
you... Kaiju Big Battle?
Yep.
What? Is that why he's a giant monster today?
Yes. I'll go on record and say yes.
But by the way, Chris Hero is not listening to this. But Fat Chris Hero...
For me, I love Absolute Intense Wrestling.
Yeah,
I would say Absolute Intense Wrestling in Cleveland is fantastic.
I think we lost Zach.
Candace, you just...
We hit the point of the conversation where your internet completely screwed you over, Zach. You might want to start again.
Is Zach still there? Is Zach still there? Oh, Zach. Zach Schildwachter, is he still there?
Uh-oh.
There he is.
Am I still good?
Oh, yeah, you have to give your answer one more time.
Oh, where'd you lose me? What would I...
Just say the whole thing over again.
Okay. My love for Absolute Intense Wrestling in Cleveland...
It happened again. They don't want him to say it.
WWE is in here just muting Zach. I don't know. It's a non-WWE company.
Yeah, it is. As soon as he started in, it started cutting out again.
That's so funny. We'll see if Zach comes back in. I hear him a little bit, but Zach loves Absolute Intense Wrestling, which is based out of Cleveland, Ohio. Zach will correct me if he can hear me, but yeah. I don't think it was started by Johnny Gargano, but he's been heavily involved in it for years.
No, that's John Thorne, and right now it's the co-owners are John Thorne and Chandler Biggins.
There you go.
Chandler Biggins.
Yeah, another one, a local one that I love is Mega Championship Wrestling. They always put on a great show. I've helped sponsor those guys in the past. It's great stuff.
All Ego Ethan Page? Is he the champion of that one, or is he the champion of – or not – I don't know. Which promotion has All Ego Ethan Page in it?
All Ego was AIW.
Okay.
Right now, AIW also has Alex Daniels as the champ, and Alex Daniels was also the champ of Mega Championship Wrestling. If you get a chance, you should check out OI4K, Ohio is for Killers. Those guys are lighting up the scene right now. Zach Wentz, Desmond Xavier, holy shitballs. Desmond just had a big match against Ricochet, and those two went fucking toe-to-toe.
I love Ricochet.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is like Ricochet, like, you know, the Coke to Pepsi. You know, it's the same soft drink kind of thing. Like, those guys have rockets strapped to them. You're going to hear about them in the next 5 years. I guarantee it.
That's awesome.
Badass.
Yeah, that's the fun part about being, like, heavily invested in an indie scene is that you can pinpoint the wrestlers that you know are hopefully going to go somewhere. Like, that Keith Lee that I was talking about is a big Texas guy, but he's starting to show up in Beyond Wrestling, and he's starting to be booked in Chicago and a whole bunch of other places, and he's been on ROH a couple times, but not all that much. But like Keith Lee is one of those guys where he's about 6 foot, he's about 350. He can do moonsaults, he can do corkscrews, he can jump over the top rope, he can lift you in the air and power slam you, power bomb you. He's incredible, and it's one of those guys where I'm like, how is he still on the independents? How is that even happening? And it's so awesome to see those people you followed for years, and you know, go to a show in front of 100 people, and they're the ones that are going to be selling out WrestleMania in 10 years. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's pretty...
It's great. I hope that they, you know, WWE more, you know, the cruiserweight, I think, was great proof that you can dip into the indie scene, you know, in the continental U.S., internationally as well, and start pulling out these gems, these fighters that people are going to latch onto even more. I think that they can do a lot of different things. I'd love to see a cruiserweight division of females. I would love to see female tag team. You know, I mean, God forbid we get crazy and try to treat some of the wrestlers in the world with the dignity and equality, you know?
Yeah. Now, so Brian, as someone who's never seen an independent show in his life, what independent wrestling do you like?
Well, from what I've seen just online, clips online, I'd have to say Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and New Japan Pro Wrestling. If that it's an indie thing.
It's all good. It's still not something you see very often. I know we really got on tangent here. So Adrian, to answer your question as a summary, look up Wrestle Circus, look up PWG, look up Evolve, look up Absolute Intense Wrestling, and look up, you said it was Mega Championship Wrestling, right, Zach?
Yes. It's one of my favorite local, I mean, they have a local church gym kind of thing, but they always do really fun events for the community. Like, a lot of the times they do shows that benefit, like, local centers for rehabilitation or child development, things like that. I mean, that's the fun of supporting indie wrestling, is that you see a lot of these families go and support, you know, their cousin, their brother. That's,
yeah, I'm
for, I, that's wrestling.
Yeah, it's the best. Independent wrestling is the greatest thing there is. And to answer Adrian's second question about our WWE house shows, basically experiments, yes and no. I've been to a couple of them. Sometimes they do, like, you know, they put two wrestlers together that they're probably going to have be done in a pay-per-view in a couple months, or maybe they're thinking about starting a program with them, so they'll kind of just throw a match together and see how they work and figure out, you know, all the moves. But generally, they're just fun. Like, I kind of enjoy going to house shows more than I enjoy going to Raws or SmackDown, because there's no commercial breaks. On Raw or SmackDown, they are those wrestlers are 100% performing for the cameras. At a house show, they are performing for you. And they're all having fun. They don't always break character, but, like, they're all there having a good time. They will do stuff that you'll never see on TV. They'll pull out moves you would never see on TV. They're just more interactive with the crowd. They do more banter back and forth because it's just them and you, and that's all that's there. It's there for is just to entertain you, and you hopefully have a good time with wrestling. If a house show comes through your town, NXT or WWE, I do recommend not missing it. Go to that show because it will probably be more fun than being at a Raw, where you have to sit and watch commercials every couple of while, and you know. Wait for the camera, and there's a crap load of talking and a crap load of backstage segments. And yeah, there's normally, you know, a good or two really good matches, because, you know, they got to sell the show from a wrestling perspective. But the house shows are typically 6 to 8 good matches, because all they're there to do is wrestle. So yeah. I really recommend that you go to house shows.
I will speak on this for a house show. The one I saw, the SmackDown one before No Mercy, they had a dark match that combined those two big rivalries that they were building up, where it was a tag team match of Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt and The Miz, and it was fucking amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that's, like I said, it's stuff that you might not ever see on WWE TV. Like, it's
dark matches, dark regular shows.
Yeah, they'll feature talent that you normally don't get to watch, and, like, those talent will actually have a 10-minute match, you know, that is actually good or fun. So, yes, they are experiments in terms of, like, will this feud work? We're going to put, you know, like, we're going to put two wrestlers together because they're going to have a pay-per-view match in next month, so they're going to work each other on the house show circuit, not on TV, just so they can kind of work out the kinks of, like, what they can and can't do. Like, for example, the NXT house shows that I went to in Texas, I went to all three of them, the one in San Antonio, Houston, and Corpus Christi, and two of those three shows had Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa versus the Revival for the belts. And they were just working out the kinks for that takeover match that at that point hadn't been announced. They were just kind of like, let's do this a couple times. Obviously, the final match had different spots and had different finishes, and it wasn't the same thing that I saw. But in some cases, they really do work out the basics of how are these two teams going to work together, because we're going to push this as a big draw for the pair who needs to look good, needs to work good, they need to be fluid, and the house show circuit is where they refine their chemistry.
Yeah. Nope, I agree. That's good. I think that's our podcast. That was our time back from our podcast this time. I think we're going to be back hopefully weekly now. And Zach, if you want to join us weekly, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'd love chatting and wrestling. You actually listen. Most people just stare at me like my head's on fire.
I like it. And yeah, again, we are the W.
To be fair, Zach, your head has been on fire at least three of those times they were staring at you.
That's true. And so we are the WEW Podcast. You can find us on iTunes at Multimedia Men. And please subscribe to us. We're on Facebook, Twitter. Wrestling is Everything is Wrestling. Thanks for listening, and we will be back next week.
Beat up. Beat up. Beat up. Beat up. Beat up.